John chapter 14, I want to read to you verses 12 through 14. John 14, 12 through 14. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, notice this, because I go unto my Father. Now, verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Last Wednesday evening, we discussed together, studied together the name of Jesus. We began with that thought, the name of Jesus. And I tried to teach us and learn, all of us, a little bit more about the name of Jesus and what that means and how we should and shouldn't use the name of Jesus. Let me simply remind you, Jesus is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Yeshua or Yehoshua or Joshua. And it just simply means Yahweh saves, Jehovah saves. That using the name of Jesus is not some type of magical incantation that forces God to do what we want, when we want, and how we want. I want to remind you, if I may, that the Lord's name, in His name represents who He is and what He has done. As we associate certain characteristics to a family name or a company name or a brand name, such is the case with God's name. When we reference the name of Jesus, we are referencing His character, His behavior, His attributes, His person, the work of Christ, the authority of Christ, the power of Christ. The name of Jesus means something. His name holds significance. Therefore, we should hold His name in high regard. We should use our Lord's name well, with honor and with dignity. And that includes in our prayer life. And so what I want to talk about this evening is praying in Jesus' name. Praying in Jesus' name. In our text, verse 13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. Verse 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name. And so, all of us who pray, Christians, will almost always close our prayers by saying, in Jesus' name we pray. We ask these things, and amen. So what does that mean when we use His name that way? I want us to be informed and educated and understand what that means when we say in our prayer life that we are asking God for this or that in Jesus' name. Again, let's look at the negative. Does it mean when we invoke or evoke the name of Jesus that we can name it and claim it, whatever it is that we want? As some televangelists would suggest, we can blab it and grab it just as long as we say in Jesus' name or in the name of Jesus. Some people really think so. Some people really believe so. But in truth, it is that type of shallow, superficial approach to using the name of Jesus in prayer is really a dishonor to the name of Jesus. It doesn't represent Him, His Word, His character, His behavior, His authority. It doesn't represent it well. And to just look at a verse, in fact, if you would just look at the text here, Verse 13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. And just a superficial reading of that, shallow reading of that, would make someone say, okay, well, all I have to do is ask in Jesus' name, and He's going to do it. Look at verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So a very cursory reading of that might incline somebody to think, well, I can name it and claim it. All I got to do is mention the name of Jesus. And this type of poor interpretation and poor exegetical work, not comparing Scripture with Scripture, this is an error that plagues Christianity throughout. Looking at a verse isolated, looking at part of a verse isolated, not thinking about what it means to pray in Jesus' name. These leads to all kinds of doctrinal errors, poor theology, and even worse, deceived people. I want to give an example, I think perhaps one of the more prominent examples of how people take a verse, misuse it, misapply it, pull it out of context, and end up really leading people astray. Even well-meaning, godly Christians can do this. I've been guilty of it. Probably others have here as well. But it's easy to take a part of a verse or a piece of a verse and make it say what you want to say, but that's not how we should handle God's Word. For example, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, you've probably seen that in numerous places. Ball players will have it in chalk under their eyes, blacked out and sewed onto uniforms. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But just to be clear, and I'm not trying to be critical, but I do want to be clear, you realize that that verse has absolutely nothing to do with one's athletic ability. Nothing. Now just think about how we handle or mishandle the Word of God. While I am thankful to see God's Word put on public display, ball players who put this on their person doesn't mean that they are going to hit a grand slam home run or score 10 touchdowns just because they say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, that would be great, but you can't outrun a speeding bullet. You're not faster than a locomotive. You can't jump over tall buildings in a single bound to take a text out of context and say, I can do anything, all things, through Christ who strengthens me. It's mishandling the Word of God and it's misleading others. In context, Philippians 4:13, Paul is talking about enduring hardship, suffering trial, going through hunger, peril, difficulties, persecutions. Paul is making direct reference to finding contentment no matter what is going on in life. Being full or being hungry, being warm or being cold, enjoying plenty or doing without. Paul says, I have learned, read the verses leading up to that passage, I've learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. And I can find contentment, whether I have a lot or I have a little, because my contentment is in Christ and not in my situation or circumstance. And so when he then says, I can do all things, he's talking about I can endure the good and the bad through Christ who strengthens me. Now, Philippians 4:13, wonderful promise. I can do all things through Christ, but it has to be understood within context. It doesn't mean that I can walk outside and pick up the rear end of somebody's truck just because I got Philippians 4:13 tattooed across my chest. It doesn't mean I can run 100 miles an hour or fly like Superman. None of those things. And I use this example or this illustration of the abuse of this verse for this reason. We need to handle God's Word well. Words matter. Theology matters. Words matter. And especially I think, when we are utilizing the name of God and calling on Jesus' name, we ought to use our words well. So when we read in John 14, 13 and 14, whatever I ask, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Is that a blank check? Is that carte blanche? Is that what it is? Does that mean you can just name it and claim it? Verse 14, if you go ask anything in my name, I will do it. Does that mean that I can just ask and expect God to give me whatever it is just because I'm saying in His name, in Jesus' name? Well, you make a good living by selling that and peddling it to poor-minded people. And candidly, our flesh would love that, right? Our flesh would be able to say, all I got to do is speak it into existence. That's the thing I have heard in the workplace and others now. So you got to speak it into existence. Well, what on earth does that mean? Again, words matter. What does that mean? It would be great, yeah, if I could say, and I don't mean to be irreverent, so you endure this. It would be wonderful if I could bow my head and say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I want to walk through the mailbox tomorrow and find a check for $1 million. I mean, who wouldn't want that? Lord, I'd like to go home tonight and there'd be a new Mercedes sitting in the driveway. Lord, I'd like to wake up tomorrow 100 pounds lighter. I mean, who wouldn't want these things? And this verse says, right, whatever we ask, He'll do it. Anything, He'll do it. So does that mean we have the right to ask and expect God to give us whatever it is that we want? Love to have my mortgage paid for, love to have this, love to have that, and loved ones never get sick, cancer to be gone. Yeah, all that would be great. As if God is some kind of cosmic concierge obligated to give us what we want just because we mention the name of His Son. I'm going to ask you to turn over to the end of your Bibles, 1 John chapter number 5, and I want you to just hold your place there. I'm going to read this, but then we're going to make reference to it again in just a moment, because we find similar language there that inclines some people to think you can name it and claim it. All you got to do is mention the name of Jesus. 1 John 5. Look at verse 14, and this is the confidence, 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, maybe we just need to leave that next few little words out of the way, because they are incredibly inconvenient, right? According to His will. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So there again, whatsoever you ask. And a cursory reading of that, without thinking, without studying, it would be easy to just grab that up and lift it off a page and say, oh, my friends, all you got to do is ask in Jesus' name and it's yours. And candidly, some people make a very good living selling such poor theology. But the truth is, that's not how we are to handle the name of Jesus. His name is not a lucky rabbit's foot. It's not credit upon which we can charge things and expect God to pay for it. And in truth, treating the name of Jesus in this way, seeking only material gain and prosperity and comfort, it is carnal, it is fleshly, it is not spiritual, nor is it biblical. Abusing the name of Jesus for our own selfish desires doesn't work. It doesn't work, at least not with God. I know fraudulent faith healers and prosperity preachers peddle this stuff, but nonetheless, you can't twist God's arm simply by mentioning the name of His Son. I sometimes, and let me just mention this, sometimes when you're scrolling channels and you see these yahoos on TV, and they're always asking for money. Sow a seed, they say. And I say, dude, sow your own seed. What you need my money for? Invest your money. Leave us alone. But it doesn't work that way, does it? God is not honored, nor His Son magnified, when people treat His name, listen to this, like a genie in a lamp. Like a genie in a lamp. What it really does is cheapen the holy name of God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, what does it mean to praise in Jesus' name? What does that truly mean? In this text, when Jesus says twice, "In my name," John 14, 13, and 14. When He says that, what does that mean? Why do we close our prayers with "in Jesus' name"? And I have three suggestions, three thoughts for you this evening. They all begin with the letter A. We learn access. We are to ask according to His will. And we are to ask for what would honor God. Those things, particularly the last two, are tied together. But when we are praying in Jesus' name, the first thing that we are acknowledging is our access. Our access. That is, we have access to God through the name of Jesus. Let me remind you again. When we mention the name of Jesus, it stands for who He is and what He has done. Would any of us here this evening be so bold or so brazen to approach God in our own name? Or how absurd would it be if I closed my prayer out tonight and said, "In Lewis' name, I ask these things," instead of "in Jesus' name"? When we pray in His name, we are acknowledging that our only access to God the Father is through God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not call upon the name of the Pope. We do not need Mary. We don't need some priest. We're certainly not going to call upon God to answer our prayer by our own name or our own merit. Only in the name of Jesus. Only in His name. Only His magnificent, matchless name grants us access to the throne of grace. Now I need you to think with me this evening. I'm not going to get too far into this, but I want you to follow me with this. Up until Christ became flesh, up until the ministry, crucifixion, and the resurrection, no believers ever prayed in Jesus' name. Now think about that. Old Testament saints who believed in the redemptive work of the coming Messiah to satisfy their sin debt before God prayed. They prayed. Read your Old Testament. They prayed. But they didn't pray in Jesus' name. Why? Because they didn't know His name. They did not know what the name of Messiah would be. They only believed that Messiah would come. And He would be their sin bearer, sin substitute. But now that Messiah has come, and the angels have proclaimed, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, Yahweh saves, Yeshua saves, Yahashua or Yahweh saves, Jehovah saves." Now that His name is given to us and known, Jesus teaches His followers to pray to the Father in His name, in the name of Jesus. Again, put on your thinking caps with me this evening. And think about the context of this 14th chapter of John. Now, this is the last night. Remember this. This is the last night that Jesus spends with His disciples before the crucifixion. He's laying out 13, 14, 15, 16. He's laying out all of these truths, pouring, dumping on them, all of these wonderful truths that they need to hear and they need to know. And He explains to them, to His little band, that first church in that upper room, chapter 14, you know, again, He's told them, I'm leaving. He sees their face. They're all distraught. And that's when He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. And then we continue to read. He says, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you. So He's telling His disciples, I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. Again, the close of verse number 12. I go unto the Father, my Father. If you were to look at verses 16 through 26, He tells them, I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is saying to them, no one has prayed in My name before, but now I'm here. And now you need to pray in My name. I'm going to be leaving, but even after I'm gone, you still need to pray in My name. You approach God through Me, through My finished work. You come to the throne of grace through what Christ has done in our stead. And so here, Jesus is encouraging them, call upon the name of God. He will hear you. He will answer you because of Me. If you're in John 14, just turn over a page or two to chapter 16. Chapter 16 and look at verse number 23 and 24. He's reiterating this to them. Again, John 16, 23, and in that day ye shall ask Me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it you. Verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in My name. You've not prayed in the name of Jesus. You didn't know the name of Messiah, but now you do. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So Christ is teaching them access, your access to the Father is through Me. Pray in My name. And when we close our prayers in Jesus' name, we are acknowledging that our only entrance into that heavenly throne room was made possible by the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He granted us access. Or, to use a biblical illustration, maybe you remember that when Jesus cried out from the cross and said, it is finished, to tetelestai. I've been wanting to preach that so bad. It is finished. And then He yielded up His spirit and died. The veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Significant. That veil that had separated God and man had now been torn open. Now that Christ has made a new way, a better way. Hebrews 10 verses 19 and 20 talks about a new and living way through the veil, that is His flesh. That old covenant was done. A greater and more excellent sacrifice has come in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the better priest who made a better offering and made a better way. The separation has been removed. Now we have access into that Holy of Holies, that heavenly throne room, because of Jesus. And when we pray in His name, that is exactly what we are acknowledging. We're acknowledging our access to the Father is through the veil, the torn, tattered veil of His flesh. Apart from the mediatorial work of Christ, we have no standing with God, no access to God. Jesus is not only our access to right relationship with God, but also the only name whereby we can have access to God in prayer. If you write things down, write down Hebrews 4:14-16. It makes mention of how now we can have boldness to enter in through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the atoning sacrifice. So, we pray to the Father, generally I say, we pray to the Father in the name of the Son by the aid of the Holy Spirit. God hears and answers our prayers because of Jesus and not because of us. Not because of our merit, not because of our good name, not because of what we have done, but because of the name of Jesus. His finished work, His priestly position, His sacrifice, His person, His work grants us access to the Father. So in prayer, we're saying, Father, hear us in Jesus' name. Answer us because of who Jesus is and what He has done. So that's access. But then secondly, we are to pray, when we are praying in Jesus' name, according to God's perfect will. We pray realizing our access is through Jesus in His name, grants us access. But also praying in Jesus' name means that we are praying according to the will of God. If you held your position in 1 John 5, I want you to flip back over there for me if you don't mind. And I want to emphasize something that so often gets ignored. 1 John chapter 5, let's read these two verses again. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, do you see those words? According to His will. I say this, I'm not really fussing at you in any way, but I wish some of our charismatic Pentecostal friends could hear this. You don't get to ignore those words just because they're inconvenient to your theology. You don't get to just cut that part out because it doesn't fit with your name it and claim it doctrine, because you're blab it and grab it theology. You don't get, we must ask anything. Notice this, according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, and the underlying clause there is, again, according to His will, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So, yes, we pray in Jesus' name, which grants us access, but praying in Jesus' name is also praying like Jesus would pray. And how did Jesus pray? Not my will, but thine be done. How selfish would it be for us to ask God to do something contrary to His will? Something that would dishonor the name of Jesus. It was always, always the purpose of Jesus to carry out in complete perfection His Father's will. He prayed, not my will, but yours be done. Therefore, us employing the name of Jesus to try and convince God to do something inconsistent with His nature, His word, His will is selfish and blasphemous. Yes. Yes, Christian. You should pray and ask God to meet your needs. We are instructed to pray and ask for God to meet our needs. And there's nothing wrong with praying and asking God to give us some of our wants. We need to be able to distinguish between our needs and our wants. But we must always pray in Jesus' name, which means we pray with a submissive spirit that says, Father, You know what is best, and I only want what You would have for me. Now, that's not always easy to pray. It certainly wasn't easy when Jesus said those words in Gethsemane, was it? But the mature Christian realizes that what we want, what we desire, or even what we think we need is not always God's grand design for us. Saying in Jesus' name, rightly at least, means that you are praying with the same yielded, submissive heart of Jesus, desiring that God's will, which is always best, is done in our lives. We can't use the name of Jesus as some kind of talisman. Jesus, the name of Jesus, is not Aramaic for abracadabra or open sesame. But instead, we pray according to His will. According to His will. And then thirdly, and this is the second and third of these are very, very closely tied together. Praying in Jesus' name means that we ask for that which will glorify God. We ask for that which will glorify God. Our desire in prayer, as in all of life, is that God would receive the glory. That should be our great desires as Christians. As painful as it often is, our ultimate passion in life and in our prayer life is for God to get glory by what He does give and by what He lovingly withholds. It would be most selfish of us to employ Jesus' name and try to insist that God gives us what we want, even if it dishonors Him. There have been times in my past where I've been so fleshly, so carnal, so earthly minded, where I just said, Lord, this is what I want. Not me, this is what I want. Not really praying, God, will You be glorified through this? Is it actually for my good? We need to get back into Romans sometimes and think about He that spared not His only Son, but freely gave Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? If God did not withhold His only Son from you, what do you think? Is He going to withhold something less from you? Or as Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, even if a bad dad knows how to give good gifts to his son, how much more a perfect father when we ask? You ask your father for bread, He doesn't give you stone. You ask Him for fish to eat, He doesn't give you a serpent. Even bad dads can do better than that. What about a perfect, loving, heavenly Father? So we need to trust that what God does, He is doing for our good and for His own glory. And in truth, we should only ask for that which can be rightly used to honor Christ and for our long-term good. Therefore, we should use the name of Jesus with reverence. Whatever you ask in My name, or I'm asking because I have access through Jesus, I'm asking according to the will of God for my life, and I'm asking what will magnify the name of the Father. It is right and it is good to end our prayers in Jesus' name, as long as we understand what we're asking when we say in His name. It is seeking the same things that Jesus sought in His prayer life. Things that would honor God the Father. Things that would magnify the love and majesty of the Father. Hear this. To some degree, really to a great degree, praying in Jesus' name is praying in a way that views life from a heavenly perspective. That's a rich little thought. I hope you'll hang on to it. Praying in Jesus' name is praying in a way that views life from a heavenly perspective. Now, having said all of this, Christian brother and sister, pray. Pray. Open your mouth wide and ask of your God great things. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, let your requests be made known. Don't hesitate to pray. Lift your voice to God. Petition the throne for your needs, for your wants. Remembering, we're praying according to the will of God. We're praying that God would give us what would glorify the Son and the Father. But listen, Christian, God has more than you could ever ask for. The treasure vault of heaven can never be bankrupted. And God delights, as a loving Father, to give good gifts to His children. But hang on. If the bulk of our prayers are about material matters, finances, temporal needs, we are not praying like Jesus. Yes, we should pray about those things, but our primary focus in our prayer life shouldn't be on material matters, but upon spiritual needs. Pray. I implore you, pray in Jesus' name to ask God to meet your needs, grant your wants according to His riches in glory, according to His divine will and purpose for you. Pray for God's blessing, spiritual blessing, on the needs of others. Just don't treat the name of Jesus like quarters you'd put in a vending machine, thinking all I have to do now is pick what I want and press the right buttons. That's the wrong way to pray, and an irreverent way to handle His name. Prayer is a wonderful, underrated, and often ignored privilege. But today, if you are a Christian, a true believer, you have access to the Almighty, Sovereign King of the universe, this loving Father that has been granted to you in the name of Jesus. What a privilege that is, to think that you and I can come boldly, not arrogantly, but come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in our hour of need. And realizing that access is given to us in Jesus' name. May God help us to align our lives, including our prayer lives, like the perfect example of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. I love you. I hope that you have been benefited by this study. I didn't really intend to go this direction in this way.